Matthew frequently quotes the Old Testament texts, and his first readers would have found them familiar because Matthew is writing to the early Jewish church. Today, this one from Isaiah 42 is the longest of all his quotations. You see, the great Persian king, Cyrus, is the subject of Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 45. Isaiah presents Cyrus as a gentle conqueror as the king marches through the land in conquest. This makes Cyrus very different from other conquerors, who came and showed their power by laying waste to everything in their path as a way of controlling and impressing everyone with their power. Cyrus seems to have known that destruction and oppression would eventually mean the costly rebuilding of the conquered territory and, even worse, the problem of controlling angry, resentful conquered peoples. So Isaiah describes him in a word that we might call meek or meekness. Matthew sees in Isaiah's description of Cyrus then the figure of Jesus, who is here in this gospel laying out his plan and his idea of what a Messiah who comes from God must be like. There will be with him no crushing power, no violence, but only sacrificial service. There isn't going to be any throne except the cross. Among many interesting details in these verses, two ideas emerge, it seems to me, for our reflection and then for our response this week. The first is this matter of justice brought by this Messiah. Perhaps then, but certainly now, justice has been turned into revenge, which is exactly what Jesus came to confront in his efforts to change the common expectation of what a Messiah would be like. The ancient Greek world that so shaped the times of Jesus defined justice in this way: giving to God and to men what is their due. Now, people formed by faith in Jesus and living in response to his word, the only thing that's due to God is obedience and respect, gratitude, and glory. The only thing due for us is mercy. The truth of this demands that we be very careful about what we expect in terms of justice. For when we get really honest about how we stand before God, revenge and punishment would be the very last thing we want as justice, which is exactly what Jesus reveals in the way he treats sinners. We will not be worthy of his name and hardly able to carry his message and carry on his work if we think that revenge and punishment are appropriate. The second matter to consider with this gospel today is something that Matthew has already taken up in chapter 5, something Jesus had already spoken of as a revelation of what God is like and of what he is, and then what we must be if we're ever going to be counted among the blessed. Chapter 5 is the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the meek. In Cyrus, you see, there's plenty of meekness, the Persian conqueror, but there is no weakness. In the Beatitudes, the word that Matthew uses for meekness is the same word used to describe the taming of a wild animal. That's what meek is. You take a wild ox to use to plow the field, and that ox is meeked. That's the Greek word used there, okay? And that's the word Jesus uses on the Sermon on the Mount. It means great strength under control. As Isaiah proposes in his prophecy describing a Messiah, there isn't going to be any barking or yelling or any pressure or threats used on opponents. Jesus refuses to harangue the crowds and to whip up support for a political revolution. Jesus is meek and humble and gentle. There will be the nobility of respect and the persuasion of love rather than oppression and force. As Isaiah puts it, the bruised reed will not be broken, nor a smoldering wick snuffed out. This is the challenge, just like the one we face always with justice. As the people at the time of Jesus spoke these words, were challenged to change their ideas and their expectations about the Messiah and how he would save and conquer and find victory, so do we. Too many still believe that power and force is what is needed these days rather than kindness and mercy. Too many still believe that loud and rude accusations and condemnations and insults are the way to get ahead. It is so today, in boardrooms to classrooms, from school bullies to politicians engaged in political discourse. It does not fit the model of the Messiah, and it's not becoming of those who continue his work. This gospel says a lot in 7 verses about how God will redeem, about how the Messiah will ultimately find victory, and how those of us who carry on his mission will respond to opposition and ultimately win victory for the kingdom of God.